I had signed up to get texts every once in a while from a government organization to find out about opportunities for certain types of businesses. And I got a text recently, the first one, and I was like, whoa, it actually worked. And I sent it to my boss, knowing that this opportunity probably isn't something that we're actually interested in, but I wanted him to look at it just to see the opportunity that exists. And he looked into it, and he got back to me, and he said, this might be something we want to do, but it's expensive. It's like $500,000. I'm like, that. I wouldn't have sent that to you had I known that. And then he said, well, the opportunity would pay off about $500,000 a year in profit. I'm like, that's something you can't turn down. So he's looking further into it. But the problem is, there's one big problem, and the reason I told him we're probably not interested is this opportunity is in Salem. None of our businesses are in Salem. We're all in Southern Oregon. We're Brookings, Cape Junction, Grants Pass, Medford. We can't run a business in Salem. And so he's looking into it, but the big problem that we see is he can buy a business that's complete. It's set up. It has everything it needs to make $500,000 a year, which sounds amazing. It's because it's a controlled industry, just so you know. It's you can't just get into it. You got to get permission. You got to keep the right people happy. But the problem is somebody would have to be sent. Somebody would have to go there and would have to develop a family of employees who know what to do and train the next manager to take over. Somebody would have to leave their life for a year to go make that happen and to make sure that everybody there knows their part so that it's set up to work. So there's a good chance we're not going to do this, even though it sounds amazing. And if I could do it, I'd probably just go up there. But I don't have $500,000. But this problem that exists in getting that business is a problem that the early church also faced. Jesus purchased for himself a people. And he paid the entire price. The work is finished. The job is complete. In a way, but there's an administration that had to be set up. There's a reason Jesus didn't just land on earth, let himself get crucified, disappeared, and went, the job is finished. He spent a lot of time teaching, building up a leadership group. There was a lot of setup involved. And then he left an administration behind. Even Paul, who Jesus almost kind of plucked out of the system, right? Paul didn't get converted and then go out and did all the things that he did. He spent some years being taught by the Holy Spirit. Basically, Jesus walked him through what the other apostles walked through, which is kind of amazing, after Jesus had already left. And so those systems are super important, and you cannot build a church, you cannot build a business without having these foundations, and the gospel and the church of God, which is us, is no different from that. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to do the next section, but we're going to start in what we did last week, or the last couple of weeks. We're going to start in 23. Paul Paul is one of those writers, right, in the New Testament where they didn't have English rules, and they didn't lay everything out in nice little boxes so you can pick up one box and then put it down and pick up the next box. Everything kind of flows together. He was not encumbered by the way we would like him to write, which is actually a reason why I really love to listen to audiobooks and an audio Bible, especially because you just listen to the book and you get the flow of the whole thing, which is kind of the way they wrote the New Testament. It was made that way. It was made to be sent somewhere, and then some guy stands up in the group and he reads the letter. And so we gotta reach backwards a verse. So verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So we're going to talk about Paul. He's the subject. And in this verse, he already mentions that he's a minister for what? In this verse, the gospel. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. And that's our section this morning. So Paul has a mission. He has a goal. Paul is there to teach the gospel, right? He has a ministry, which is teaching the gospel and building up the church. He's there to deliver the gospel. He's there to bring a good news, a mystery, which is Christ in you, and specifically in this context, specifically in the non-Jewish population, specifically among the Gentiles, which is us. And that's the mystery here. He likes to use the word mystery. It comes up later, too, in Scripture when he's talking about what Christ did being the mystery. But here, the mystery is what God's going to do with the Gentiles, or what, in this case, what he did for the Gentiles. He included us in his family, which is awesome. Let's see. And he specifically, he admonishes, teaches, in order to present every man complete in Christ. So he's doing the administration. He's being sent the way we would have to send someone up to Salem, in order to kind of complete what, in a sense, is already complete. And the reason I say it's in a sense complete is we got to deal with that first verse there in this section, which is 24. 24 is a fun verse to come across. It's the kind of verse that I would use if I'm casually hanging out with some guys to maybe clown Paul a little bit. Sorry, guys. But I do. I do. I like to clown Paul. He's funny, especially the way things are interpreted that he writes. He always comes across a little snobbish. And I don't think he was snobbish, but let's look at this real quick. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. I don't know about you, but I get this picture like there's the amount of affliction needed. It's about that big. Jesus did a really good job. He made it to about here. And Paul's like, don't worry about it. I got it. Right? Which immediately my gut goes, no, Paul. No, Paul, your ego is showing. But I know in my heart that can't be what Paul is saying here. So so we have to look at it just slightly deeper, just to see what exactly is he saying here. Now, just to get started here in Acts 9:16, Paul is getting saved. He's kind of in the process, and this guy is gonna heal his eyesight, right? Because God blinded him. What's his name again? Ananias. Yeah. He's being told to go lay hands on, baptize him, lay hands on him, so that Paul will receive his sight again. And the guy doesn't want to go, and God is like, don't worry about it. I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Right? So here we have the word suffer again. This is a different suffer than in Colossians 1:24. Now I rejoice in my suffering. I think in this case, in Acts, he's actually talking about suffering. We know Paul suffered. We know he got arrested. He got beaten. He got rocked to sleep. I mean, stoned to death. He got, you know, he went through the gamut. He got shipwrecked. He's got a couple lists in the New Testament. You can go find them. He likes to talk about it. you know, Paul. But he did some real suffering. This, I don't think, means the same thing. I rejoice in my suffering. That suffering, the word behind it is also translated a couple times, passion. So, I rejoice in my passion. I would like to say, like, yeah, suffering is also a legitimate translation, so maybe something more like agonizing, right? A passion that's a bit painful. I agonize, but I rejoice in my agonizing for your sake. And in my flesh, I do my share. Not Christ's share, not what Christ didn't quite finish up, my share. I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, which is us, in filling up what is, and then it says lacking. But lacking is a fair interpretation of the word that is used, but I think in this context, and it can also be translated needed. So in filling up what is needed, there's things that are needed, and I do my share in doing my share of the things that are needed in Christ's afflictions. But Christ was afflicted. Now he's pressing in, which is also a fair interpretation of that word. Now I'm trying to completely change this verse in a way just to really get away from the impression that I feel it gives. But Christ wants to press in on his church, which is us. He wants to communicate to us. He wants to grow us into, here it often uses the word body, right, into a strong, healthy body that functions the way it ought to. In some places it talks about building a house or a structure. He wants to build us into a strong structure that's capable, keeping out the weather, and doesn't fall over at the first storm or earthquake or whatever. So Christ is pressing in on his church. He's trying to grow his church. There is some agonizing, some effort that has to take place that is needed, and Paul does his share. And his share is bringing the gospel and revealing the mystery of God in the Gentiles and is to admonish and teach, and through doing those things, present us complete in Christ. That's Paul's mission.
Is he telling them that you are also going to have your share of this suffering? And
that's not what he's saying, but that's where I'm going to go with it. Because, you know, it's nice to figure out what a portion of Scripture means, but then, like, how do I apply it? And there is a share available, and there are Scriptures that talk about that. So let's go there. Thank you for the question. Yes, ma'am.
Maybe you have to read it in there, but in verse 23, part of his prayer for them is that they will be steadfast. Mm-hmm. And when you think of steadfast, usually it means you're trying to be dragged away.
Right.
By something negative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's all.
Yeah. Thank you. Before we move on, though, let's just peek at Colossians. Colossians 2:9, real quick. Just in case there's any question about whether or not Christ finished. I'm sure there's not. But for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. Not in Christ and Paul, just in what Christ did. In Christ you have been made complete. And Paul wrote this, so Paul is not under any delusions as to who did the finished work, but he has his share to play and the building above the body. And Jesus is the rule over all authority. All right. So I wanted, though, to go through Colossians real quick, through a few verses, because Paul does give some instructions to the Colossians. And since that's the book we're studying, I thought we'd spend time there first before we leave Colossians to kind of round this out a little bit. But Colossians, let's go to chapter 3. How can we, or what are some of the things mentioned in Colossians that we ought to do for the building up of the body? Let's start in 3, verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ richly rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And there's quite a bit here. I did notice, maybe you noticed it too. Let's see where it is. Teaching and admonishing one another. That's awfully a lot like what Paul's job is. So Paul's job is also our job. Maybe not in the same sense, right? Paul might have a greater rank, and his teaching might have a higher importance and rank, but we're to do this as well. After this, we have a few sections on how we ought to behave towards one another, the family, and that sort of thing. We're going to jump past that, not because it's not valuable, but because it makes it too big for today. Plus, we'll get there. Lord willing. Chapter 4, starting in verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may make it clear in the way we ought to speak. Conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. So Paul brings the message to the Gentiles, but while the church here of Colossae, their job isn't to go, right, like it is for Paul. They're going to stay in place unless the Lord decides to disperse them. They're going to stay in place, but people come in, right? There are visitors, there are neighbors, and that sort of thing. And so this work of evangelism is also placed on the Colossian people and on us. So it's our job within the body to build up the body and to grow the body, just as it is Paul's. There is an administration of God that includes you. Let's to round this out and to get it from a slightly different perspective, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, we're going to start in verse 11. We're going to kind of just yank this passage out from its context a little bit, but I don't think we're doing it any injustice. Here he's going to talk about the church administration first, and then move on at the end to people more like you and me. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. These are often viewed as sort of the leadership of the church, the guys who stand on the top of the pyramid. But that's not what he says, right? He gave some. Just the word gave alone. This is a gift to the church, for starters. And then what are they for? To wear great coats, sit on big chairs, and drink lots of wine. No, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. These are the servants of the church. To the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, that's the body of Christ becoming a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. This so fits well with Colossians because that is what he's going to get into next. Not today, but as we continue in Colossians, that's why he's writing the letter. There's so much scheming going on in the background. There are so many people trying to distract them. The devil's always in there. And he's like, you need to be built up so that you don't get tossed back and forth and you don't fall for the trickery of men and the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all respects into him, Christ, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. by what every joint supplies. That's referring to every individual within the body. So you are individually members and parts of the body of Christ. And it is Paul's goal through writing these letters. It's the teacher's goals. It's Dan's goal. It's the church leadership's goal to build you up in such a way that you can add to the building up of the body of Christ. I almost want to word that in 2-3 more different ways that aren't coming to mind, just to kind of get that in your head, because I don't know about you. Do you ever feel, I think everybody from their own perspective looks at the church and goes, man, there's some people that could sure do more. Right? Not me, of course. I'm booked, you know? But I would just like to encourage you this morning, in closing, to reflect on what part. It's not your job to look around and go, what are all the jobs that are not being done, and to try and fill this. That's not where we want to go. But you play a part. I don't know what that part is for you. But I ask you to think about that. What is my part, and am I fulfilling it to the fullest extent? Would Jesus go, hey, look, I only put you in charge of one thing? You know? Would you be able to say, yeah, I did that, and Jesus go, yes, you did. Good job. I hope so. All right. Thank you all for coming this morning. The faces here are very smiley and happy, I feel like. Yes, Armin.
Earlier you were talking about the mystery. Paul talks about the mystery.
Uh-huh.
But then he says what that mystery is. The mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
That is the mystery. And the thing is, Jesus Christ is God, and the Holy Spirit, God lives within us. Us lowly people wants to take residence in us. That blows me away.
Indeed. Yes.
I've always looked at the mystery as the mystery is that this gospel was for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. That was the mystery that nobody knew about. They didn't realize, hey, the Gentiles also.
Yes. And that in the context of right. This, that is the point of the mystery, yeah. But later on it refers to another mystery, which they kind of go together, and that's more what the mystery that Armin is referring to. Excellent. Any other questions or comments?
What is the end goal of all of that?
The end goal of this?
No, what you were just talking about.
Of what I was just talking
building
about.
Building up the church together. What's the end goal? So we got a super church.
Yeah.
I've been to those super churches. Just
we want a gold star.
Goal is the glory of God. That's
yes.
Our purpose individually. That's our purpose corporately, is to build one another up for the glory of God.
Amen.
That's it. I don't think there's anything more to it.
Yes. I think what we have here is a kind of a stepping, a flight of stairs, where there are a number of mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of goals. The goal specifically spoken of in this passage is in verse 14 of chapter 4. As a result, the purpose of the things that precede verse 14 are to result in and be the goal of what follows. We are no longer to be children. Ultimately, up the top stair, the whole thing down below is to glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a yes and or a yes but. And I agree wholeheartedly with David, mm-hmm. that ultimately what God is doing is going to result in all of creation falling before him, worshiping him, acknowledging Jesus is who God said he was. I'll stop there.
All right. Yeah. I'm kind of thinking of like the Lord's Prayer, just in the order of importance, right? First thing is like, hallowed be your name, right? Glory to God. Absolutely. Second, your kingdom come. Right? Those are the things that are on God's mind, and those are the things that ought to be on our mind that we then, in prayer, reflect back to him, and in our actions, reflect back to him. Yes?
It's also us sharing Christ, Jesus, with everybody we can. I mean, to me, it's so satisfying to me just to share my love I have of him to somebody that, what are you talking about, you know? And, it just makes me feel so good, and to make them feel good, too, about their lives. You know, there's some reason to be alive. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to be able to share Jesus, your love with somebody, you know? That they're going about their life every day with not knowing Jesus. How horrible, you know? I was one of those people, you know? I don't want to ever be there again.
Right.
I want to live for Jesus, you know? Like, he's the most important thing in my whole entire life. And I really love this church because Tacoma's needed something like this for so long. And it's just wonderful to see people coming in from all over the place because, and the children, and I mean, this whole place here is like me loving Jesus, you know. It's just wonderful. It's so much it's a wonderful new addition to my life that I've been around here for 30 years, you know, and I've gone to other churches and stuff. And I never find anything wonderful about it. You know, we have such love here. I mean, it's just wonderful to share our love with other people, you know, and bring them into the fold. And I love Jesus for that. And like Paul, teaching all the Gentiles, I mean, that we've been accepted into God's way, you know, through Jesus.
Indeed.
And we don't have to live by the Jewish law, you know.
Dave.
So, Michael, an interesting series of classes could be built around this idea of the mysteries. Taking a look at the five or six that are revealed in the New Testament as this is a mystery. And then the mysteries that are not spoken of as such in the scriptures, but they're still mysterious to us. Lord, why me? That's a mystery. I don't know why.
Right.
But somewhere in his fulfilling his desire, he's put his finger on me for this, his finger on you for this over here, on David for something else. And that's all a mystery to me. I don't know. I don't understand it. Right. But there are some things he mentions here, several of them, that in the New Testament are mysteries. And those that we're pursuing too. Try to understand them.
Okay, we are completely out of time. Let's pray real quick and move on. Lord God, I thank you, we thank you, Lord, that you are a great God who saved us from the direction we were going and put a new heart into us. And Lord, I just ask for the church at large, but for our community specifically, Lord, the church that meets right here, Lord, that you would grow us tighter and closer together and build us up and teach us how to strengthen one another and how to be there for one another and encourage one another, teach one another. And Lord, that we would be built up into a strong body that represents you accurately and is there for one another so that people looking in know that we love one another and that we are yours, Lord. Lord, I just pray that would even happen this morning, that we would have an amazing time together, enjoying one another's company, speaking words to one another that are inspired by you and have the right hearts towards one another. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.